Good morning to each one of you and greetings in Jesus' name. It is a pleasure to be able to worship together. Welcome visitors. We're glad that you all can join us. May we worship God in spirit and in truth. The natural and the supernatural combine together. As we read Scripture, we see the natural happenings of life, but we also see supernatural intervention and supernatural happenings. As we go through this Christmas season, you know, a lot of people look forward to Christmas. I mean, we get past a couple of months in the summer and people start saying, it's just 3 months till Christmas, or such and such, how many days it is till Christmas. When we get so far along in our school year, it's like we have so many days till Christmas, and then we have our Christmas break, and it's something that we look forward to. I mean, y'all look forward to Christmas? How many of y'all look forward to Christmas? Yes. It is a special time of the year. It's a special time to be able to go out and sing together with our church family and to fellowship together. It's a good time to spend together as families. That is precious to us. And we sing those all so familiar Christmas songs. And so as I share this morning, I do have some songs included in the message today. But I do have one question. Is Christmas, the 25th of December, any more special than any other day of the year? Is it? Was Jesus born on December 25? Well, I have an article. This is by Morris Yoder. Y'all know Morris Yoder? Anybody remember Morris Yoder? This was read by Joseph Richard at our high school devotions the other week, and it was captivating to me. Was it to you, Ryan? I see you weren't there. Heidi, was it captivating to you? She don't even remember. No. It was very captivating because it was talking about the celestial bodies and how this order of event came about, and I will share that a little bit later. The Bible really doesn't speak to any specific date. It refers to maybe a season, but it doesn't really specifically date Jesus' birth. You know, I wish that as we look at Scripture that it would be like this happened on this day, and this happened on this day, and this happened on this day. But obviously, God in His omniscience, all-knowing, chose to not include those dates. And I wonder if it is because He wants us to embark on finding Jesus by faith. Those wise men that ventured out as we studied in the lesson, those wise men saw a sign. And obviously they knew by their previous study that there was going to be a sign. And they embarked on a journey, a long journey, following the star to see this King of the Jews. And it would have taken them a lot of time to get there. However, that's not where my message is today. But the truth of the Christmas season is that God, in His well-orchestrated plan since the very beginning, since creation, His plan was to redeem us back to Him. And then He sent His Son. In John 1:14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." These men that were living in that time, these men and women, actually saw that physical form of Jesus' body. We don't see that today. But yet we see the after effects. We see the results of Jesus coming as flesh. But it didn't stay Jesus in the manger. It's the story of him coming to live, to die. And as I've shared with you all before, each one of us are in that very state. We are all born to die and then face eternity. In this physical body, we are born to die. But one day, we will stand before the ultimate judge and we will be judged according to our works. And then we will live eternally. As we look at history and Scripture, we see some very natural events that happened, but we also see some supernatural happenings. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. And of course, this is the account of the angel appearing to Mary. Very, very familiar verses. But as we read these verses, let's look at the natural and the supernatural. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Okay? Now, it does talk about the sixth month. So it gives a certain month on the Hebrew calendar, and I did not look that up. But it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Very natural event. Except that there was a supernatural happening. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Nice story. Right? Nice story. We read this and have read this, and we see this as kind of a storybook. And yet, it was a big event for Mary. It was a big event for Elizabeth. The natural and the supernatural coming together to rescue each one of us, to rescue mankind from sin. We see the natural of childbirth, but we see the supernatural of the conception. We see the natural of Elizabeth being with child, but we see the supernatural of her being old and barren. The natural and the supernatural coming together to rescue man. It's not just some quaint little storybook story, but it is a story. It is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Holy One from God coming to earth in a very natural form as a babe in a manger, and yet in a supernatural way being conceived of the Holy Ghost. Looking back at Luke 1, 26 and 27, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." A prophecy fulfilled. A prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." How is that possible? As God said to Mary, as God through the angel Gabriel with man, it's not possible. But with God, it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." A fulfillment of prophecy. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And I'd like to sing that song.
Until the Son of God.
you look at those words before you close the book, O come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel. Thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save. This Emmanuel came not to stay a babe in a manger, but to rescue mankind from that awful end without Christ. Looking at verse 28 of chapter 1 of Luke, it says, And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Think about this. This young teenage, from what we understand, young teenage lady. And this angel appears to her and starts to speak to her. And I don't know if this was morning, noon, or night, and it really doesn't matter. But he addresses her and says that she is highly favored and says that she shall conceive and bring forth a son and call him Jesus. And it goes on to say that he will be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This angel, can you imagine an angel appearing to you and bringing you a message that's never happened before? You will conceive and bring forth. I'm sure that Mary was not petitioning for the job. Hey, pick me, pick me, pick me. And I'm sure there were many other women in this world at that time, and they were not saying, hey, pick me, pick me. But obviously, God saw something in Mary, that she found favor in God's eyes, as Noah did, as many others did in Scripture. They found favor in God's eyes. And God chose her because of that favor. But it wasn't because of her loose lifestyle, but it was because of her faithfulness that God found favor with her. A natural being given a supernatural message. Gabriel bringing news of this Christ child that would be great. He would be the Son of the Highest. He would reign forever. And I can imagine that Mary's mind was spinning. How in the world is this going to happen? Is this really true? Will this come true? I think from hearing ladies speak, I think all ladies dream of a home of their own, of getting married and having children. And I think Mary's response to that would have been very similar, of having a dream of getting married, having children, maybe having a home of their own. And I know that's not for everyone, but I believe Mary's response after hearing this news from this angel, Gabriel, this supernatural event that was to come, she had a natural response. How is this going to happen? How is this going to happen, seeing I know not a man? And then the angel went on to explain, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. You know, they say misery loves company, if you know what I mean. I don't know that this was misery. But oftentimes when we have similar situations that we experience, it brings a certain amount of comfort. And I can imagine that when this angel said, this is what's going to happen to you, but I want to tell you something else. This cousin of yours, she's an old woman. She's expecting a baby too. And she's already 6 months in. And I can still see Mary's mind turning. But her response was, verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now this message of this conception, knowing not a man, indicated to society that there was some immoral activity that happened. And yet through that message, Mary knew. Through that message, Joseph knew. Through that message, many that were involved directly knew that this was of God. Are you willing? Am I willing to be used of God no matter the circumstances? No matter what people may say? It probably won't be a supernatural experience like to the extent of what Mary had. But are we willing to experience Christ in our lives? Are we willing to do God's bidding, even if we don't know or understand all of the details? Mary didn't know everything, and I'm sure the angel told her in a nutshell, and yet she didn't know what she would face down the road. Then I want to turn to Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. Now, this word tax, we understand, is to pay tribute to the governing authorities. But the word here means to enroll into or take a list of the citizens with their employments, their amount of their property. It was basically a census. It says, and Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I referred to Joseph and Mary as finding favor. Mary finding favor, and it talks about Joseph being a just man. This would have been a journey. This distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 90 miles. They couldn't get in their Ford Taurus and zip down the road and in an hour and a half be there. But traveling by donkey or by foot, however they traveled, approximately 3 miles per hour, do the math, 30 hours. 3 miles per hour, 90 miles, that's a huffing of a journey right there. That would have been 3 days' journey at traveling 10 miles per day, 10 hours per day, I'm sorry. But ultimately, they were fulfilling the words of the prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem. Verse 6 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I know we sang this song a little bit ago, but I'd like to sing it again, Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, a crib for a bed, a little.
Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. Again, a natural happening. These men were just going about their normal business of shepherding, of keeping their sheep. But a supernatural event occurred. In verse 9 it says, Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, and I would be too. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, the same address that he addressed Mary, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'd like to sing, Glory be to God.
There were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch o'er their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and they were sore afraid. And suddenly there was with the angel, and suddenly there was with the angel,
came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We look at this story, and as I read those verses in Galatians last Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And those verses are in Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman. We worship a God of order. We look at the stars, and we talked about that in our Sunday school class. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, there came wise men from the east. Now, for me, I enjoy some studies of the stars and planets and things like that. It's not a huge something that I love, but it's something that is interesting. A couple of years ago, there was a total solar eclipse. And our family took a trip down to South Carolina to experience the totality of that solar eclipse. Scientists knew of that time. They knew of the hour. They knew of the basically down to the second, when it would start and when it would end in different locations. And this information was very, there for our consumption. And so we made plans to go. And it was amazing. There's also another total solar eclipse that is, Lord willing, if time lasts and the Lord does not come, is going to happen on April the 8th, 2024. And as we get closer to that date, there will be more of precision times, hours, areas where that's going to happen. And we are kind of tentatively, Lord willing, planning to do that. But as we look at some of the studies of our stars, not only can we see what's coming, but because of God's perfect design, we can also look back with some computer-generated, celestial viewing. And this was read at our devotional, and so I'm going to read this quickly and then fairly quickly close. This has to do with the Star of Bethlehem. Now, again, this is not certain facts, but looking at the order of the universe, both forward and backward, we can sometimes see some of those events that have happened. And again, this is sometimes man's viewpoint looking back because hindsight is 20/20. The Star of Bethlehem is the most famous star of history, yet no one really knows exactly what it was. It could have been a supernatural phenomenon that could not be discovered by mathematical calculations today. It could also be, instead, that the star came about as a result of highly unusual and rare natural patterns in the heavens. If this were the case, we could discover it simply by knowing the position of the celestial objects at the time of Jesus' birth. Thankfully, we can do just that. In modern times, we've gained the ability to precisely calculate the position of stars and planets for dates thousands of years into the past and future. It turns out that there were some highly unusual and symbolic things happening with the normal lights in the sky right over the time Jesus was born. If the Bethlehem star was a result of the common nighttime lights, it could explain why Herod and his men were not familiar with the star, but to ask the three wise men about it. Anyone with a planetarium program can replay the interesting sequence of events that began on August 12 of 3 BC. And again, these are man's view looking back. This is not scripture. So I want you to take it as that. On that date, there was a conjunction of Jupiter and Venus. Jupiter is the largest planet and is known as the king planet. I want you to think about that. It had left the sun and joined itself to Venus in a close conjunction where these two brightest lights in the sky came within less than 1/10 of a degree from each other. So they were fairly close. This happens in the constellation Leo, the lion. The Messiah was to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. This conjunction could have signified an important event that was about to happen. Nearly 3 weeks later, on August 31, the next significant conjunction happens. Mercury, which has been known as the messenger planet since ancient times, left the sun and arrives at Venus, which was known as the mother. This closely resembles the angelic messenger revealing to Mary that she would bear the Messiah. I don't know if you all remember Morris Yoder. He came to Berea quite a number of years ago and gave an overview of the celestial bodies and some of the things that they signify. And it was a very interesting presentation. 11 days later, on September 11, something else happened that reminds us of Revelation 12, 1 and 2. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This is almost identical to what happened in the celestial object above. On September 11th, the sun was in the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, and the moon was at her feet. 3 days later, Jupiter, the king planet, makes a close approach to Regulus, which is known as the king star. The Romans called the star Rex, which means king. It was known as the kingly one to the Arabians as well. And so they think that some of these wise men were from Arabia, that area. Don't know that for certain. After this close approach, the king planet Jupiter reversed course and returned to circle around the king star Regulus, hovering over it and crowning it over the next 7 months, causing two or more close encounters. On June 17 of 2 BC, about 9 months after the sun had clothed Virgo and the moon was at her feet, something happened that not many people, if any, had ever seen before. Jupiter and Venus came together in another conjunction, but this time they came so close together that they appeared as one star. And only the keenest eyes could have seen a separation between the two. The two brightest points of light in the night came together in Leo the lion to form the brightest star they had ever seen. This could have been the star that represented the birth of Christ, the birth of the king. After this close conjunction with Venus and Jupiter, it left its position in Leo and started slowly moving westward into the constellation Virgo. This westward motion could have acted as a guide for the wise men. These were wise men who were carefully watching the signs of the heavens and would have easily noticed Jupiter's westward progression. If the wise men arrived in Jerusalem a few months later in December, it would have perfectly coincided with Jupiter coming to a stop, preparing to reverse course in retrograde motion. I don't know if y'all know what retrograde motion is. Probably most of you do. But retrograde motion is when you're viewing a planet circling the sun and it gets to the most eastward or the most westward and it's going one way and then it goes to its furthest point and starts to come back around the other side of the sun. And so it actually looks like it's going backwards until it's obliterated by the sun, being behind the sun. These motions of the heavenly bodies carry lots of correlations to what was happening over the time of Jesus' birth. The possibility of this being the sign the wise men sought after is a possibility. However, there's also a possibility that God, in his all power, omnipotence, created that temporary, natural, supernatural light that left no trace. We look back at Scripture and we see this story of Jesus coming as a babe in a manger. But he didn't come to stay there. He came that he might redeem mankind back to him. And we look at some of these facts as interesting facts. But the matter of fact is that one day Jesus will come again. And we don't know how the stars will align with that. And we don't know the time nor the date that that will happen. But we do know that Jesus will come again. And we need to be right with him, watching for that coming. These wise men were watching, and they pursued. We need to be watching, and we need to pursue Christ. Not as a babe in a manger, but as Christ, our Redeemer. May we go forth as May we go forth as the shepherds did, both telling and sharing of the good news that they had experienced. May the Lord bless you as we seek to keep Christ forefront in our celebration of Christmas, looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. God bless you.